Let's jump into the Word tonight. Are you ready?
Amen.
Let's talk about God's favor. God's favor. I've been reading and studying, like a lot of you all, about God's favor for years and years and years now. And I'm never tired of the subject, looking at several scriptures that I've been looking at, again, for probably 20 years or so now. And again, maybe it's reminding some of you, maybe it's the first time you're hearing this, but there's something about God's favor that we'll see in a man or in a woman, that things begin happening that don't happen otherwise. And everybody has access to God's favor. In the Old Testament, we see the word favor used over and over and over. We're mainly going to stay, really all today, in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we really don't see the word favor mentioned that much. We'll look at one verse in particular concerning Jesus. But really, a sister or a brother word, a twin word, is the word grace. We see it in the Old Testament as favor. It's the same word translated as grace many, many times. So just keep that in mind. Real quick, Luke 2:52, it speaks of Jesus. Come on, let's read this out loud. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor. Come on, yell favor. Favor with who? With God and with man. So notice again, we've looked at this scripture before when we talked about some other things, but he increased. Jesus increased. He increased, it says, in wisdom and stature. He grew physically. We talked before about growing spiritually. He grew in wisdom. He grew in stature as a person, as God in flesh, all God, all man. It was this amazing thought. But it says that he increased also in favor with God and in favor with men. So I submit to you, you and I both can increase in favor with God, understanding how to cooperate with the favor of God, understanding how to believe for the favor of God, not only with God, but we can have favor with man. Psalm 102, verse 13. Write it down. You're going to need these verses. If you don't need them, your kids are going to need them. You're going to have a friend that's going to need them. So go ahead and write them down. Psalm 102, verse 13. You, talking about God now, the psalmist is saying, you, God, will arise and have mercy on Zion. Zion is always symbolic, a type of the church. You will arise and have mercy on Zion for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. The time to favor her, the time to favor the church, the time to favor you, the set time, it says, has come. Notice again the phrase, the set time. The set time means an appointed time, a predetermined time, a prearranged time. That time, the prophet or the psalmist says, that time is now. So come on, just say it with me. Favor, come now. Come on, you got to say it with a little bit of spunk. You can't just go, favor, come now. Come on. Favor, come now. Yeah. You know, I like to say it this way. Favor ain't fair. Favor ain't fair. But favor will keep coming in your life if you'll just keep believing God. You have to cooperate with it. We got to understand that it's part of our inheritance. Favor is. I will look at about six or seven things tonight, and by the time we get done, I believe your favor quotient is going to be high. That you just are going to expect, if anybody's going to be blessed, I'm going to get blessed. If any door is going to open for anybody, it's going to open for me. If things are going to work, they're going to work for me. Not based on my education, my race, not based on how much of God I know or don't know, just simply because I'm a child of God and I believe in His favor.
Amen.
All right, get something out. Let's write some stuff down. Number one, favor produces promotion and prosperity. Favor produces promotion and prosperity. How many of y'all could use a little bit more of that? Favor produces promotion and prosperity. Notice Genesis chapter 39. Genesis 39, let's look at verse 2 through 6. Genesis 39, 2 through 6. We got it back there? There we go. This is talking about Joseph. Notice what it says. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him.
And the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Master saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor. Come on, say favor. Favor in his sight, and he served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he was made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. And then he left. Here's the Egyptian. Here's Potiphar. This is Potiphar now. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he didn't even know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. My Lord, it says the favor of God was on Joseph's life. And the Bible says here that the Lord blessed the Egyptian because of something that was on Joseph's life. Pick up verse 21. Verse 21 through 23. Now, if you know the story, which a lot of y'all do, all of a sudden, Mrs. Potiphar got the hots for Joseph. And one day, you know, said, sleep with me. He said, no, everything in the house belongs to, I can run everything, but I can't run you. You belong to the man. You ain't mine. I ain't touching you. And she tried to lure him day after day, and he kept, you know, putting off that temptation. And finally she grabbed his outer cloak, and she yelled rape, and Potiphar was in a rage, and then Potiphar threw Joseph in the inner prison of the king. But something's going on. Something's going on. Look what it says here in verse 21. Even when he was in the prison, verse 21, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor. Come on, yell favor. Favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison didn't look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Come on, say this last phrase, that last phrase there, four words. The Lord made it to prosper. Come on, whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So mark it down. Favor worked for Joseph when he was a slave. Favor worked for Joseph when he was a prisoner. Favor isn't a place. Favor's in a person. So many times people think, well, I'm going to get favor if, you know, I'm in that job, or I'm in that place, or I'm in a new city, or I get a new, you know, situation. No. Favor, the favor of God worked in him when he was a slave. Remember, his brothers sold him into slavery, and Potiphar bought him. And while he's a slave, he is prospering. Something's on the inside of him. Of course, the dream's burning on the inside of him, but something's working in this brother that he is tapping into the favor of God. And everything in his life is blessed, and he's allowing that blessing to flow through him. He's not mad. He's not tore up. He's not bitter. He's not negative about all situations. He's just letting the favor of God on him bless every place that he's working. Favor is a slave. Favor as a prisoner. Wow. Wherever he was, the favor of God was just multiplying. And then we see when he got out, of course, the 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine, God just keeps giving the brother favor with wisdom and supernatural insight, and he saves his family, and he saves an entire nation. Come on, how many know God's dream is bigger than your dream? Amen. Come on, somebody yell favor.
Favor.
It produced promotion. It produced prosperity. Number two, favor brings restoration. Favor brings restoration. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. Exodus 3, 21 and 22. This is when we talked a little bit about this on Sunday, when Moses was feeding the sheep on the backside of the desert. And he saw that bush burning and stopped and turned toward the bush. And God started talking to Moses out of the bush. This is part of that dialogue. In the middle of that dialogue, before the 10 plagues, before, you know, to Pharaoh, let my people go, before the Red Sea, before all that happened, God tells him exactly what's going to happen. He tells him exactly what he wants him to do. Part of the whole equation of him being a deliverer was right here. Notice what it says, verse 21. and I will give this people, the Hebrews, favor. I'm going to give them favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be when you go, you will not go empty-handed. Come on. When you go, you ain't going to leave with nothing in your hands. But every woman, come on, say every woman. Come on, I like it. He got the women involved here. Because come on, them women, at the end of it, after 430 years as a slave, I tell you what, come on, women, you're getting ready to throw your finger in some of those Egyptians' faces, right? You better be taking them rings off your finger. Look what he says here. Every woman shall ask her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. You shall put them on your sons and on your daughters. So you shall plunder the Egyptians. Somebody say favor. Favor brought restoration. Now, what's really interesting about this, now think with me, a couple things I think that's real important here, is that God is getting ready to leave, or God is getting ready to break these people out of all the, you know, hundreds of years of bondage. And they've been slaves, and they've had everything, you know, they've been quarantined, if you will. They've been limited, they've been held bound, and subjected to poverty, and couldn't send the kids to school, if you will. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Everything was working against them. And God's getting ready to do something amazing with the 10 plagues, and then Pharaoh coming out, you know, in the Red Sea and swallowing them up and then getting them out. But while they're out there, listen to me, while they're packing across the Red Sea, they're carrying this stuff with them. They're carrying it with them. And when they get out in the wilderness, listen to me, there's no Walmart. There's no Casa de Cambio. Come on, somebody. That's my Spanish for tonight. There's no House of Exchange. Come on, somebody. You can't be come on, somebody. Maggie's looking at me going, dear Lord, I'm telling you. You can't melt down your gold and kind of sell it. There ain't none of that going out there. So much of what they had taken from the Egyptians was going to be used in the temple, the portable temple, the tabernacle, and to worship God. Because God was going to feed them. God was going to give them water. The clothes on their back weren't going to wear out. So God restoring you and God working in your life with favor isn't just about you getting me getting a padded pocket full of money, but it's now God restoring stuff to you that the enemy has stolen from you so you can be a bigger blessing with what he's given you. Come on, somebody. Because it says this, though, so with that, I believe that's a major, you know, major thought of it, but it does say, let me just bring it back to you, it does say here, the people that dwell near your house, articles of silver, articles of gold, you're going to put on your sons and your daughters. So listen to me, if you believe God for favor and you got a right heart with it, that God's going to bless me so I can be a blessing to the kingdom of God, I can support missions, I can tithe, I can give offerings, I can be generous. And God's going to say, I'm going to give enough for you to be a blessing out there. And your kids, come on, in your life, you're going to have some stuff to put on your kids. Come on, somebody. It's going to be okay with you. It's going to be okay with your family. I'm going to provide for you is what he's saying. So what I like about this, though, too, is that just notice what he says again there, verse 22. Every woman, come on, say every woman. This is everybody now. Come on, women. Come on, every woman, you ought to get a little, come on, ladies, you ought to sit up a little bit. Now, this is for our men too, but every woman, it's really interesting, you're going to ask her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, all that stuff, silver, gold, articles of clothing. So I just get the thought that favor was close to their house. Favor, their neighbors are near them. God's favor is just a step away. God's favor is really close. I'm going to believe God for our lives in this season, the rest of the year, that we're going to start seeing breakthroughs. We're going to start seeing things happen where there's been stuff that seems stuck, where things that look like it's been broke, not fixed, can't get out. It's going to be restored. There's going to be restoration. Come on, somebody. Restoration. Restoration. I'm going to start believing God, I think, because I really want one. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I really want one. So I'm going to start using my faith for a Volkswagen van. You think I'm funny, but I really want one. I want one of those ones that's all fixed up, because I've been looking at them. You know what? I tell you what. Do you know that a guy over in Europe bought a Volkswagen van for $278,000? I don't want that one, but come on, I don't want that one. I don't want that one. I'd be afraid to drive it. Come on, somebody. I'd cash it in and buy a house for somebody. Come on, somebody. But I tell you, what I'm just saying about restoration is that there's some stuff that when it gets restored, it's worth more than it was to begin with. That's all I'm saying. But I do want a Volkswagen van because I plan on having a bunch of grandkids. I want them hanging out with me and let's go to IB. Let's go to the beach. And then you can just put a hose in the back and hose out all the sand and all that kind of stuff. I think it'd be kind of cool. Throw a surfboard on top. Not that I surf, but that'd be kind of cool look. Anyway, so not yet. So believe God with me for a Volkswagen van. And I'll let you drive it, maybe, in Jesus' name. Number three. Come on, write it down. Number three. We learn anything right now? We learn anything tonight? Number three, favor produced a physical place to live. Favor produced a physical place to live. Deuteronomy 33:23. It says, and of Naphtali, this is one of the tribes of Israel, one of the 12 tribes. And of Naphtali, he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full of the blessing of the Lord, possess the west and the south. I came across this scripture years and years and years ago, and so we just would start saying, even before we owned our own home, while we were renting, we just said, thank you, Lord, for favor, that we would be satisfied with the favor of the Lord, full of the blessing of the Lord, and that we would possess a place to live ourselves. Possess the west and the south. God's favor was the vehicle that produced them possessing the land. This amazing, amazing, very tangible, very real blessing would not only affect the people here, the moms and the dads, but would affect future generations. While we were doing about 2 years ago or something like that, Dave Ramsey, the financial peace seminar and all that we hosted here. One of the things that Dave Ramsey said, and every financial planner will tell you, one of the greatest sources of blessing for your kids and for future generation is that you and I become owners of property. And when you become an owner of a property and you pay it just like you're paying rent, you're paying it, you got a mortgage, but in Jesus' name, it'll be paid off, that across the board, California specifically, property values always go up. They go up. Instead of 30 years being a renter, and I'm not against that, I'm just saying if you've got a desire for that, God's got favor for you, that you become an owner. An owner. And that you then begun, when you die, that you have physical, tangible real estate that you can then either your kids, they can sell and they can split it, whatever they want to do, or sometimes, a lot of times, they figure it out and they keep the property and use it themselves and or becomes a rental property. Here, it simply says that favor produced a place for them to live, that they have boots on the ground, they had a permanency, they had a place for themselves and for future generations. And I want to encourage you, favor is available to you to believe God and to have your own property, you call your own, and that in Jesus' name, it be paid for. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. It be paid for. I'm not there yet. I got a mortgage on my house. I don't just a fact. I just do. I'm believing. I call it paid for every time I pull in the driveway. I start talking to it. Jesus said, talk to your mountain. That's a mountain. Come on. That's a mountain. That's a mountain. I want that thing removed. We own the building, but we pay on it. We own it, but we don't own it. You know what I'm saying? make the mortgage on it, but man, how many of you know that if we had $6,000-$7,000 a month, it's almost $7,000 a month. If this thing was paid for, what could you do with $7,000 a month? So if you want to write the check, you just let me know. We'll give you the balance. Write the check. Praise the Lord. You just never know. Come on, you just never know. Somebody could be listening online. Just say, I like that little guy. I think I'm going to write him a check. I saw on Facebook, he could dance. He could dance. We get Al back, though. Anyway. All right. Hey, here's another great scripture I've been reading for years. Hope it helps you. Psalm 44:3. Pastor Cameron and I, we said this for years. This is another one to go to get a house. We did not gain possession of the land by their own sword, nor did their own arm save them, but it was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your countenance because you favored them. They didn't gain possession by any other way except you favored them. It wasn't our power. It wasn't our strength. It was God's power. It was God's strength. It was God's guidance. It was God's grace that caused favor to come in our life, that we possessed the land. Again, just story, the building that you're in. So many of you weren't here with us in the beginning. You weren't here with us. We've been here 14 years, but you weren't here with us those many years ago. Some of you were. But when we came down here, we were at Highway 5 and L Street, Industrial Boulevard, and we were in a leased facility paying $10,000 a month rent, not only rent, plus triple net at the end of every year. They charged you for the electricity of the lights, the upkeep on the land outside. They paved the, they do whatever, then you had to pay that on top of that. And the owner was getting ready to raise our rent. It was going to be close to $12,000 a month. And we had favor with the company before, and the guy that was our guy, our mediator, he really liked us, and the owner really didn't like us too much because he wanted more money for the building. And so I came down at him like, "Woo, help me, Jesus, $10,000, $12,000 a month that is there right now, plus it's going up. We got to have a building. We got to be a owner. We got to do something." So we just started believing God, and we started asking God for favor. And guess what happened? Come on, somebody, this happened right here. What you're in happened. And come on, God's not done yet. Come on, everybody. We're going to fill it up and fill it up. Come on, somebody, and fill it up. Come on, somebody, fill it up and fill it up and fill it up and fill it up some more. And then in Jesus' name, we believe God to build something here. In Jesus' name, if that's the will of God, we kind of sense that, to own the property next door in Jesus' name. You know, when it's time, when it's right, we bless Brother Bob over there and his family, but when it's right. So we just shout favor. Come on, shout favor. Just favor. Favor. Favor in a church that we possess. We're able to do what God's called us to do. And it's not by our strength, our smarts, or we're not the sharp. I might not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, and you might not be either. But we serve a God who knows everything. Just ask us to trust Him. Just trust Him. And believe for favor. Just believe for favor. Come on, believe for favor with your kids. Believe. So since you're believing for favor, that changes my expectation. That changes my talk. That changes what I see. I see favor. I don't see lack. I don't see trouble. I don't see can't own. I don't know how, but I see favor. Right? You're the believer, God's the performer. Come on, somebody. You're the believer, God's the promiser. Just believe. Just believe. All right. Number four. Favor produces recognition. Favor produces recognition. Now notice this. In 1 Samuel 16, when we get there, the prophet Samuel had already come to Jesse's house. This is David's daddy. And the prophet, God told him that was where he was supposed to go, that the next king was going to be at Jesse's house. And so Jesse has got several boys, and you know the whole story if you read it, that all these boys come out, and Samuel's sure it's this good looking 6'4", looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And God says, that ain't the guy. And so he goes down the next guy, and he's looking like somebody, and that ain't the guy. And so he keeps going down the list, and none of it, he just doesn't have the green light in his spirit. And so he finally says to the dad, he says, isn't there another son? And he says, well, I got, you know, David in the backside, you know, feeding the sheep. And he says, well, I'm sitting down, bring the boy here. And it's really interesting, most guys that I've read after now believe that the reason David wasn't there to start with is because David was like a bastard son. And he was out, he wasn't even with the original boys. So he shows up. The prophet gets the green light from God, and God says, that's the next king right there. Sure enough, he anoints him. He's called by God. He's chosen by God. It says in verse 22 of chapter 16, then Saul, this is King Saul, said to Jesse, David's dad, please let David stand before me, for he has found favor. Come on, say favor. Favor in my sight. Now, what's happened here is if, as you read it, maybe read 1 Samuel 16 before you go to bed tonight. Maybe read that. Because what's happened here, why he said this, was because Saul had completely, maybe not totally backslid, but he had left God's way. If chapter 15, you can read that, of Samuel. He left God's way, and really, he's on his own. He's doing his own thing. He's in a backslid state, and so the presence of God has really left Saul, and the Bible says that a distressing spirit or a disturbing spirit had been assigned to him, that he really didn't follow God's precept. When you don't follow God's way, come on, you're in the middle of devil's territory, and that's what his brother is. But he says, please let David stand before me, because he has found favor in my sight. And the reason that he said that was actually because the king had somebody recommend David to him. And here's what this guy said about David. In chapter 16, verse 18, notice what it says. One of the servants said to the king, look, I have seen the son of Jesse, a Bethlehemite. Notice this. Who is skillful in playing. He's a mighty man of valor. He's a man of war. He's prudent in speech. He's a handsome person. And the Lord's with him. Now, this was the guy that became Saul's armor bearer, was David. And I think it's really interesting that we get this picture, and I probably had the wrong picture for a while, that, come on, chapter 16 is before chapter 17, and chapter 17, the whole chapter is about David before Goliath. But it says in chapter 16 that this guy recognizes David, and he says, David is skilled at playing. David can play, and the presence of God comes on him, and it's amazing to hear him sing and worship. And he says, he's a mighty man of valor. How did he know that? He's a man of war. How did he know that? He's prudent in speech. How did he know that? He's a handsome person. He saw him, and he said, the Lord's with this guy. So there's also always some stuff that you can do to cooperate with the favor of God on your life. And the favor here produced recognition for David. He stood out above his brothers. He stood out about every other warrior. He stood out over every other musician. He stood out over everybody else. And the reason he stood out not only was for himself, but the favor on his life was to help somebody else. Amazing. So don't think favor is just about you. Favor is about what God wants to do in you to be a blessing to somebody else. Amen. Kingdom purposes, can you say amen? Amen? I love thinking about the kingdom, not just about our kingdom. Come on. Not my kingdom come, my will be done. Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done in my life. So let the favor of God work in me, what you've called me. Thank you for that recognition on my life. That's going to cause me to be somewhere, be higher promoted, be able to be more of a blessing. Be my whatever you got in my life, ever how you use my speech, ever how you use my ability to war, to cause things to come to pass, to be an administrator, whatever you cause me and the anointing on my life to do, I want it for your recognition that you get all the glory and you get all the praise. And thank you for favor increasing in my life for a kingdom purpose. Amen and amen. The last several we're going to look at are really all from the book of Esther. It's amazing. For about 4 or 5 different scriptures, it talks about favor with this little orphan girl. So if favor can work with an orphan girl, it can work with somebody that's a little bit higher up than that to start with. It doesn't make a difference, again, where you've been from or where you're at right now. The favor of God will work in, we found out, in a prison. The favor of God will work if you're a slave. The favor of God will work if you're an orphan. The favor of God will just work in your life. Here it says in Esther chapter 2, write it down, number 5, favor produces prominence and preferential treatment. Favor produces prominence and preferential treatment. Now, this was going to come from the king's staff taking care of all the women. To set it up, the king, Ahasuerus, was throwing a party, and he was drunk, and he was blatant, and he was a little bit brutal, and he called for his queen, Queen Vashti, to come and to kind of be before all the people, and he was going to kind of, parade her around, and she just said, "Man, I ain't coming." And so when she said, "I ain't coming," all of a sudden everybody after the event told the king, "Hey, since the queen says she ain't coming, if word spreads all around, all the women are going to go crazy and tell their husbands, 'We ain't coming.' And so you better do something about this situation." And so the king said, "Queen, you're out of here." And so when he kicked the queen out, come on, like every man that kicked a good woman out, after about a day he said, "Dear the Lord, what have I done?" And so one of his assistants says, "Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get all the virgins in the territory in Persia, and we're going to have them come, and they're going to be, before you, and you're going to get a chance to pick the next queen." And so it went out. It was like, come on, it was like a beauty contest. And so they all came, and here we find a situation that in chapter 2 of Esther, verse 9, notice what it says. "Now the young woman pleased him." This is the king's staff taking care of all these women. "Now the young woman," this is Esther, "pleased him, and she obtained his favor." Come on, favor. "So he readily gave beauty preparations to her, besides her allowance." So come on, he's giving her stuff that nobody else is getting. Come on, everybody else is getting makeup from Kmart. She's getting Estee Lauder. Come on, somebody. Come on, everybody's getting a pedicure. Come on, she's getting a pedicure and a manicure. Come on, she's getting facials. She's getting little cucumber slices on her eyes every night. She's getting rubs. She's getting aloe. That's what's going on here now. That's what's going on. "So, besides her regular allowance, then 7 choice maidservants," check this out, "7 choice maidservants were provided for her," this is Esther, "from the king's palace. And he moved her and her maidservants to the best place in the house for the women." Come on now, everybody. This is an orphan girl, come on, who's on a street corner making Taco Tuesdays. Come on, everybody. Nothing wrong. I love Taco Tuesday. But all of a sudden, she's just pretty, and she's beautiful, and Mordecai, her cousin, says, "We're going to, and she's chosen, and she's just favored. God's favors on her life for a cause. And God uses her outward beauty to do something to save a people. Amazing. And so she's got favor, not with the king yet, she's just got favor with the staff. And the staff just says, "Man, there's something about this chick. I tell you what, we're gonna give her 7 maidservants. And they're gonna watch her, and they're gonna dress her, and they're gonna shave her legs and I don't know what all you ladies do. And they're going to pluck her eyebrows, and they're going to paint her nails, and they're going to curl her hair, and they're going to wash her, and they're going to spray stuff on her, and they're just going to make her look beautiful. And that's not enough. We're just going to give her the penthouse." Come on, she's singing, "Moving on up to the east side, to that deluxe apartment in the sky. Moving on up." Come on, somebody. You ever been to a penthouse? You ever been to the top of some place? Woo! Come on, somebody. Wow. That's just what the staff. So that tells me, prominence and preferential treatment, I believe you at work. God's going to give you prominence and preferential treatment with some of the ding-dongs you work with. Ding-dongs and ho-hos and Twinkies and what's all those little things. Anyway, look at chapter 2, verse 17. Now check this out. This is the king now. Let's check out the king. The king loved Esther more than all the other women. And she obtained, come on, say it, grace and favor in his sight more than all the other virgins. So well, don't let me talk about virgins now, because it's a good thought. Just go ahead and just stay a virgin. And if you're married and you're divorced and you're looking for somebody else, just go ahead and stay a virgin now until you find that man. Wow, it got quiet in this Presbyterian church, but that's all right. Obtain grace and mercy, or grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. So we could just see the thought here that favor really followed her. And so again, don't think that favor is some place. Favor can work right now in your place. Right where you're at. It worked with Joseph in the pit. It worked with Joseph in the prison. It worked with her right here. It'll work for you. Number six, favor opens doors that would normally be shut. Look what it says here, Esther 5:2. Now again, when you read this, you got to read this whole thing because it's an amazing, amazing story. Is that there was a guy named Haman. And he got an elevated position by the king, and he wanted everybody to bow down to him. And Mordecai, Esther's cousin, wouldn't bow down to him. And so he said, man, that guy's ticking me off. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to kill all the Jews. He's a Jew. I'm going to kill all the Jews and see how he likes that. Well, Esther found out about the plot, and so notice what it says. Chapter 5, verse 2. So it was when the king saw Esther standing in the court, that she found favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter. Now, if you do a little bit of study in some of your study Bibles, it'll tell you that if the king didn't call for you and you went before the king and he didn't call for you, you could be executed. And so she's risking her life right here, and she actually tells her cousin Mordecai, the king hadn't called for me for a long time. He hasn't asked me to stand before him. And Mordecai, if you really just says, man, you know, if you don't do it, God's going to bring deliverance some other way, but you're going to die, baby. Listen, you and all the Jews are going to, you are going to die. You're going to perish if you don't do something. So she actually said, you know, fast and pray for me for 3 days. And me and the women here will fast and pray, and we're just going to believe God. So she actually gets out of herself, out of her comfort zone, and she goes before the king, and she stands before the king, and the king holds out the scepter. My God, favor opened a door. Favor opened a door. Has anyone ever said to you this thought, I don't know why I'm doing this for you, but guess what that is? Favor. Come on, it's like Andre says, fog, favor of God. Come on, somebody. The fog has just come in the room. The favor of God. I don't know why I'm doing this for you. We've had that before, like at hotels, right? Here you go. You book a room. Well, I don't know why I'm doing this for you, but we'll upgrade you to a suite. Favor. Come on, somebody. Favor. 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 Don't need to beg. Don't need to go, I'm a Christian, and give me a discount. Favor. 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 Number six, real quick. Number six. Here she is again. Favor produces petitions and petitions granted even by ungodly civil authorities. Favor produces petitions granted even by ungodly civil authorities. Here it is, Esther 5:8. Notice, she's having dinner with her king, with her husband. And notice what she says. If I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, Then let the king and Haman, here's this wicked man, come to the banquet which I'll prepare for them, and tomorrow I'll do as the king has said. Favor. So the king actually said, okay, I'll come. That there was a petition that was granted her by an ungodly ruler. The ungodly ruler just happened to be her husband. And God worked in that situation where the plot of Haman, that he sent letters out to all of Persia to kill all the Jews on a certain day, that God began unraveling that and began completely obliterating that plot and exposing that plot, because a girl was in the right place at the right time and had the favor of God on her life. But there's something about it here. Again, remember, she had to come before the king. She had to risk, you know, coming to that door. She had to believe God the king would open the door for her so she wouldn't be killed. So there's something about favor that when you stand up, God will make you stand out. You got to stand up, though. You got to believe God for favor. You got to stand up and just thank God for it and trust God for it and not be arrogant and not be, you know, it's not like you're talking to somebody. Well, I'm believing God for favor. What you going to do about it? It's not between you and them at all. It's between you and God saying, thank you for your favor on my life. Thank you for opening up. Thank you for me being a homeowner. Thank you, Lord God, for me possessing land. Thank you for favor to do what you want me to do, Lord God. And as you do it, God begins working in your behalf. Man, but you got to have boldness to go. Man, you got to have boldness to go. Lastly, you guys are doing real good tonight. We'll close here. Favor causes policies, rules, and regulations and laws to be changed and reversed for your advantage. Policies, rules, regulations, and laws. It says in Esther chapter 8, verse 5, if it pleases the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seems right to the king, now this is when she's having dinner with the king and Haman, let it be written to revoke the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agite, which he wrote to annihilate the Jews who are in all the king's provinces. It actually says before that, that whenever you'd see a phrase that says that the king would seal it and it would be written in the law, in the law of the, I forgot what the first part is, forgive me, but the something in the Medes. I want to say the Persians, but that doesn't sound right. The something in the Medes. That it was like, it was done. It was like civil law. It was code. It was the way it was going to be. There's no reversing. There's no changing. This is just the way it's always going to be. This is in our constitution. There's no way around it. There's no Supreme Court. The king said it. He signed it. That's it. And so she comes and she says, King, listen, if I found favor in your sight, I'm asking that this rule, this policy, this regulation, this law be changed and reversed. And the Bible says, the king said, yes. And the plot where Haman was going to kill Mordecai and hang him on the gallows, Haman himself was hung on that same gallows. Come on, favor. Come on, somebody say favor. Just because that's the way it's always been doesn't mean that's the way it's going to be for you. You believe God for favor. Favor. Come on, right there where you're at. Come on, just bow your head. Father God, we just thank you tonight for the favor of God. The favor of God that works in our church. The favor of God that works in every family, in every single person. Father God, right now, no matter what it looks like, the favor of God, the grace of God causes things to be changed right now. Favor and promotion come. Restoration comes. Father, I pray people in our church that are believing God for property and to be homeowners, that there's a way, Father. There's always a way with God. With God, all things are possible. Father God, tonight, the time to
favor her. The set time has come. The prearranged time, the made ready time, the predetermined time. Father God, favor with businessmen and businesswomen. Doors that would open, opportunities that would arise, things where it looks like the enemies come in. The favor reverses the counsel and the words and the dictates of the enemy. Where it looks like it's been years and years and years, there's restoration as you did with the nation of Israel. And so, Father, we look around right now, not naturally, but spiritually. The women went out to their neighbors and they asked for those articles of silver and gold and clothing. The neighbors that were close by. Favor was close by. Your favor is a person, Father. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And Jesus is with us. And Jesus is in us. And so, Father, we refuse to speak words of disfavor or dishonor. Father, we believe you right now for our church, for supernatural favor. Father, I pray for supernatural favor that causes our church to be a light and a beacon on this highway. Favor that causes people to come to us, every family here, that the families and the singles in our church are like magnets for people to come to them and for them to bring them into the knowledge of the Savior Jesus Christ. For favor, favor, favor. Where it looks like we've been shut out, where people have been shut out and things have been shut off. And it's like the faucet, the water's just been turned off and it's just down to a trickle. We pray that favor would open up those pipes again. And the water, the power, the flow will begin happening again and again and again. So we will not fear. We will not fear. We will not fear. We will not fear. The favor of God is flowing. Give every businessman wisdom. Every businesswoman, wisdom, wisdom concerning how to cooperate with your favor. Jesus, you grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and in favor with men. Favor with men. Joseph knew how to stand before Potiphar, how to stand before the king. Esther was groomed in what to do by this servant in the king's court. So, Father, everywhere we're going, everywhere we're at and work, and it seems like maybe there's edges being taken off us, and it seems like there's tough times, but Father, we're going to listen to wisdom because we believe the favor of God is working in us, that's causing us to be brought up higher, to be a blessing to the kingdom of God and the purposes that you have for our lives. So we won't be discouraged. We won't quit. We won't back down. We'll trust you again tonight for favor. 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 For favor. Favor. For favor. Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Amen. Back in the early 90s, when we were up in Canada, we had a temporary visa, and so we were what we called landed, but every 3 months we had to go down to the border, which was only about 20 minutes away, kind of like from here to TJ, and we did a little U-turn. And we went across the border, and we just came back into Canada, and we got our paperwork, and they took about 15 minutes, and they stamped our paperwork. And then after, that was, you know, that's the way it was back then, a long time ago. But after so long, we had to be permanent residents, and we were applying for all the paperwork and all that stuff. Well,
We had, you know, boatloads of paperwork from the time we were kids and schools and you know, health records, all kind of stuff. And so we had two kids at the time, I think, the two older kids, and we actually set up the appointment months in advance, and we drove to Seattle, where the Canadian Council it was. Downtown Seattle, you know, up building, you could see, you know, Pikes Peak and crazy places downtown Seattle. Going to the office, and pretty intimidating, you know, you're in these government offices, and our appointment came up, and Kimberly was outside with the two little kids. They told us to bring them. It kind of put us off to begin with, is that I said, well, here's our kids. And he said, I don't need to see your kids. He's like, oh, dear Lord, why'd we bring them, you know, 10 hours away? Anyway, so I go for my appointment. The guy's got this stack of papers. And he's looking through the papers, and he says, you know, well, you know, Mr. Isbell, he says, you're how long have you been in Canada? I said, like three and a half years at that time. And he says, and where'd you go to Bible school? And I said, Rhema Bible Training Center. And what degree did you get there? And I said, well, it's not a degreed school. You know, I said, I went to 4 years university at East Tennessee State University, and it's not a degreed school. And he says, what? And he says, you know that we have people trying to come into Canada all the time for the benefits that we have here and the health benefits and all, and the country that we live in. And he says, he said this, if there's guys that are fixing brakes on trucks, we just don't let anybody, and they've got to have proper documentation, they've got to maybe work with a union, they've got to have certification, and he says, you don't have a diploma from a Bible school, like a four-year school, that you, and I'm sitting there, and I'm kind of going, Jesus, this ain't going so good. He gets up from his desk, and he walks to the door, and he opens the door, and he says, Mr. Isbell, you're going to have to leave. And I'm sitting right here. And I'm going, leave what? What do you mean? You're going to have to leave the office and you're going to have to leave the country. That's what he said. And I'm sitting there. Kimberly's out there. She has no idea what's going on. And it's one of those moments I'll just never forget. I just bowed my head and I just went, Jesus. And I just said, sir, you must not understood me. I said, you know, I've got 4 years of education at East Tennessee State University. Told him the classes, some of the classes I took. And I said, when I was in Bible school, I said I was a youth pastor, and I'm a pastor, been for, you know, 4 years or so. And we had classes with not only Bible stuff, but, you know, marriage and family and counseling to help families and stuff like that. And I really don't know what else I said beside that. And all of a sudden, he looked at me and he goes, he's standing at the door. And he goes, oh, why didn't you tell me? And he walks over to his desk, and he sits down right in front of me, and he gets that notebook out that he shut with a stamp, and he goes, pa-pomp, 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 pa-pomp. He closes it, and he says, you'll have your landed papers in 6 weeks. And I went, thank you. I got up, and I walked out, and Kimberly, you know, wanted to talk. She said, how'd it go? I said, don't say nothing. Don't say nothing. Get the kit, get in the elevator, and we're pushing the button. Don't say nothing. I'm telling you, just the favor of God. The favor of God, right in the middle of a crazy situation. I'm just telling you, no matter where you're at, you're going to have to believe God for favor. Believe God for favor. Come on, stand up. Wow, what a good night, huh? What a good night. Come on, last Wednesday. What a good night. One more time, let's just lift our hands. Father, we just thank you tonight. Let's just praise him. Come on, you heard it tonight. We just praise him for favor. We just praise you for favor. Favor's a person, Jesus. Favor's in our God. We thank you, Father. You're a God of favor. Work for us and our kids, our grandkids tonight, our church, our city, our community. Favor. Light of your countenance on us. Shines on us because of your favor. Father, set up the rest of the week. Let us be a blessing. You know what's coming. We don't know what's coming. You know what's coming. But we're going to walk in your path. We're going to walk in your way. Use us to be a missionary the rest of the week. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen, 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 amen. We love you. Have a good night. We'll see you on Sunday. Thanks for being with us.